Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am, honored, that you chose to be with me this morning as we take a look at what it means to be noble. What does that mean? A word that I think has diminished over the many years of our existence here on the planet. I want to thank you for listening. This program is being recorded for Sunday, July the 9th, 2017. And I'm very grateful. Really, I am. You have no idea. I get up in the morning and I think to myself, wow, I get to do this. And I don't know, it's an important part of my living to share with you, and hopefully it is an important part of yours. These radio programs, as well as the TV programs, are only there because of sponsorship of people who have been kind enough, generous enough to sustain our program with their tax-deductible giving through what we call sponsorship, which is a monthly and quarterly and or quarterly donation. So I'm hoping that some of you listening to our radio program will find it helpful enough, meaningful enough, maybe even noble enough to be able to support our program and see the value of it. I do everything I can to make all this possible to you, but I cannot do it alone. You have to understand that, and I hope that you do. Become a sponsor. Go to the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org, O-R-G. And there you will see in the middle of the homepage, support. That is the page everybody tries to ignore and does a very good job of that. And if you click on that, you'll see a submenu go down, and it will say, why support Aspire, which is a very good question. And if you open it up, it will give you all the answers as to why, and you can even begin your subscription right there and download your message of the month, which you will receive each and every month. You will have access to my podcast, commentaries, video casts, and 122 discourses I've done over the many years that I've done TV. And I think you'll find them very interesting. And they're on all sorts of subjects, from the Tao Te Ching to the Eightfold Path of Buddha to Cahil Gibran. And it just goes on and on. Really, it does. There are so many things on Zen, the sound of one hand clapping, beautiful things that will, you know, sustain an authentic practice. If you're not authentic and you don't really care about all that, you're just, you know, looky-loo, then you won't get anything out of it. But if you really are looking for something to help you sustain a spiritual practice, well, that's something else. Noble. It is about being noble. A true spiritual practice is a very noble thing to do. It is not easy to do. It is not something that is mainline in our culture, our society. It basically is something that is nebulous, an add-on if you need it. I've heard people say they don't think they need it, but we all do. Let's look at the word noble for a moment before we get going here. Having or showing fine personal qualities or high moral principles and ideals. I have a hard time with the moral thing. I don't like that word at all. But to me, being noble is to demonstrate one's insight into the laws and principles that run this part of the universe, that run this world, that operate here, that sustain love. Only love. To be noble is only to sustain love. And if you are a noble person or seeking nobility, you are showing the qualities that sustain the principles and laws of love that exist right here on Earth and in this universe. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. Got to get our terms straight. First one comes from Jess in Colorado. He says, Greg, you speak a great deal in your discourses and such about being noble. How does one become noble in a world that is less than noble? It's a very good question, Jess. I chose yours first because it's so intelligent. It is a difficult thing for people because we live for the pride of our vengeance. The pride of our vengeance means so much to us as human beings. To be vengeful, to be angry, to be hostile, to be all those things is very gratifying. Makes us feel like we're better than. So it's a hard sell to tell someone you don't need to be vengeful when someone has hurt you or that you see people taking advantage of you. So the idea I think that most people have of a spiritual practice is that you just lay down, let people walk all over you, and that would not be true. That's not the way I would look at it. But you have to look at it in another light and in another way. What does it mean to be noble? Okay? It means that I understand the principles that deal with higher laws of truth that my human mind and that my human genetics, my human DNA, the animal that is called Greg, cannot understand or even define. So I have a choice. Do I live out of the animal? Do I live out of a Greg? A Greg who is very temporary, who comes into this world through his mother and father. He's not Immaculate Conception at all. None of us are. And he comes into this world to do what? What is he doing? Is he here just to survive, to procreate, to do the things that normal human beings do, which is simply to overindulge everything, to take it over the top? To ruin the planet with having too many children and yada, yada, yada. What is it that we're really doing? What is this thing all about? Well, if you're going to be noble, you have to be aware of your surroundings. You have to be able to see the bigger picture. And Jess, I don't think that people see the bigger picture, nor do they want to see the bigger picture. But more importantly, and this is something that people just can't bear, they don't have the horsepower and the ability to see that bigger picture because it ruins what they want to do. It's all about my selfishness. It's all about what I want to make me comfortable or to make me seem important. And if I live in such a manner, which most of us do, I lose the meaning of my own existence. I lose the meaning of compassion and love. I lose the meaning of what it is to be love itself. I will never be noble. To be noble is to stand in front of my own deranged mind that is telling me, you got to do this, you can't do that, you need to do this. This indulgence that we all seem to fall into. And give myself over to the whole thing. Just give myself over to self-indulgence. Without any kind of guidelines or anything like that. If I do that, which we've done, all of us as human beings, we fall into the category of not being able to see what's really going on and what would be pertinent. I have to put love ahead of my need for emotional indulgence. That's the best way I can put it. And if I won't put love, the bigger picture of love, ahead of that, then I become a part of the genetic disorder of this world. And we're all running off of our genetics until we achieve a sense of consciousness, of seeking a state of consciousness that is, shall we say, different than the genetic stuff that we like to do that makes us believe that we're just doing what everybody else is doing. This whole idea of, well, I'm no worse than anyone else, I'm just doing what everybody else is doing, is a real issue. It's a real problem. And it has caused us a great deal of difficulty in this world of overpopulation and wars and famine and money problems and all of this, because we just keep it going. We don't see the answer. So, Jess, your question is fabulous. You speak, Greg, of being noble. How does one become noble? You put love ahead of your emotional need for gratification. That's it. You put that first. And if that means you and I have to sacrifice something that we would really love to do or have for the sake of the bigger picture, for the sake of maybe accentuating the spiritual heart within us, we do it in a heartbeat. Now, if we don't have that inside and we don't care about that inside, that's another story. And frankly speaking, I think there's a lot of people who simply don't care and don't want to care. It doesn't make quote unquote sense to them, so they don't get involved. But that's the way it is. We are involved. We are here. And whether you like to believe it or not, any one of us like to believe it or not, we're involved. We really are. Hope that helps, Jess. Thank you for your beautiful question. I hope you will forgive me. Namaste. Next question comes from Ted. He does not tell me where he lives. Some temptations, some hatreds feel normal to me and noble. People who are wrong should be punished. That's a part of nobility, do you not think? Being able to tell who is right from who is wrong to me seems noble. What do you think, Ted? No, Ted, I don't agree with you at all. I know there are people who do terrible things, and, you know, I've been one of them, and so have you. So have all of us. We've all done some terrible things. I don't know if you eat meat or anything like that, but if you've ever been to the process of a slaughterhouse, you know, you and I, if we ever, which I am not a meat eater, I was born a vegetarian kind of guy, but I do eat chicken. And now I can't even do that because of what I've found out. We've all done it. I've done it. You've done it. Everyone's done it. We've all done very ugly things. And we've been wrong about the way we've lived. And you can rationalize it all you want. But this is the way it is. And if I want to look at my life and say, well, I didn't know about this and I didn't know about that, that's one thing. But to what I have found, and let me just be blunt, when a person gets a taste of something like hate and fear, it can be so gratifying. Just like getting a taste, let's say, for bacon or sausage or something like that. Once you get a taste for it, the human body wants it. And most of the time, you know, we cave in. And I'm not talking about just about those things, but let's talk about, you know, hating the bad people, the wrong people. That's just as bad as, you know, eating an animal for the sake of living flesh. Now, when you and I do these kind of things, we set into motion some very ugly, ugly, ugly ramifications in our life. I'm easily confused. I have value systems that are self-imposed that really are, what do I want to say? At best, I'm prejudiced about. There's no nobility in all of that. None whatsoever. And we could go on with this debate, I'm sure, on and on, you and I. But the whole idea is, how did it happen that such atrocities could happen in the world that we have that is so beautiful? How did such great love and wealth make its home in such poverty and ignorance as us? That is the key. We don't want to be just looking at the acts. We want to look at the source of the acts and what they really are all about. And what is that source? If you really look at it, what is that source? Now, this is the noble thing about it. To me, nobility is about compassion, patience, and forgiveness. Those three things, those three elements, derive, for me at least, the meaning of being noble. When Jesus said, a man has no greater love than that of giving his life for someone he loves, and I'm paraphrasing, he was talking about a metaphor. And maybe even something that you would do, shall we say, in the world. There are a lot of people that died for great causes in this lifetime, in this world. Dr. Martin Luther King would be one of them. Jack Kennedy would be one of them, Bobby. I know you think, oh God, he's a 60s guy. There are a lot of people who don't know who these noble men were. Malcolm X changed his ways right in the middle of the stream, paid the price for it. Gandhi, same thing. I had a friend of mine who took his daughter to college, Irvine. They were having a welcoming thing. And I guess there is a building or something there that is dedicated to Jack Kennedy. And the guy said that he's a student, and he was, guiding the people around to show them everything about it. And he said, I don't know who this Jack Kennedy was, but boy, he must have done some great things to get a library like this. This is a college student. Didn't know who Jack Kennedy was. A lot of very noble people who were doing noble things and trying to do noble things are forgotten. The villains we remember. We remember Hitler. We remember Charles Manson. We remember Dick Nixon. You know, the people who, we remember all those people. But we don't remember the peacemakers, the ones who found in the middle of the road the meaning of their life and the meaning of civilization's life, human beings' lives. We love conflict. So, Ted, you say sometimes it feels noble to hate people who are wrong. Well, it doesn't. Doesn't make me noble, doesn't make you noble. Just makes us one of the crowd, makes me fall into the collective unconscious. Now I'm in the opinions of everybody. And can a 1,000 Frenchmen be wrong? Yes. Yes. What is it about our cultures, our societies in this world that breed these kinds of people? It's genetics, it's DNA, it's the lack of spiritual interest or inner awakening. We have no nobility. It's not noble to hate. It's noble to forgive those who persecute you. It's noble to share and to give to those who have despitefully used you. It is noble to be this way. And what is the outtake of all of this nobility? What do we get? What's the upswing, the payoff, as people would say? Love. And we don't make love very important, do we? It isn't about hate and fear. It's about love. But we are not much interested in love. We are interested in that which sustains, making ourselves seem either a part of the crowd or exceptional in the crowd. And both of those things don't really mean a hill of beans. So there you are, Ted. I'm sorry to disagree with you, but I do strongly. You know, sometimes you just don't seem to get ahead when you forgive people who have despitefully used you or have hurt you. But it's not about getting ahead. It's not about hating the right people who have done so much wrong. It is about seeing us all as we are, to love your neighbor as yourself in a weird way, huh? Please forgive me, Ted. Please. Namaste. Kind of a pedestrian point of view there about hating people. The last one is from Sue, and I don't know who she is, and I've never met her, and I don't know where she lives, but she asked one question, and I thought it was so interesting. Greg, can nobility have a price that we don't want to pay, Sue? Oh, yes, Sue, you are right. There is a price that we pay. It's called pride, hubris. Yes, that is the price we pay. And it is a price that we have to be willing to pay if we are going to do anything noble with our life. I think it's important for all of us to look at our life and ask, did I do anything noble, virtuous, in the course of my lifetime? You'll know, because there won't be accolades for it. There won't be the songs from heaven of how great thou art. You will feel a sense of, well, something was lost, and you want some credit for what you've done, that kind of thing. So if my goodness only extends out as far as getting accolades for what I do, then my goodness ain't so good, in my opinion. So I have to look at things from another point of view. What is the price I pay? I give up my ego. I give up my pride. I give up my vanity. I am willing to realize that I have been deceived by myself, by my own ego, my own sense of genetic disposition that caused me to believe that this is this and that is that, and that is the way living is. So if that is the factor that I'm under, which it is, now what do I do? Can I face being, shall we say, unmasked by all of this? Can I face the whole idea of looking at my life and living in my world as though I'm not the most important thing that ever walked on the planet? Can I lift my head up, instead of with pride, with a sense of humility? I always tell my students this. It doesn't work, but I always tell it to them anyway. Don't make life humiliate you. Be willing to be humbled quickly, and you will never be humiliated. If you make life humiliate you, it will be much more difficult to deal with, psychologically speaking, than if you and I see the way very quickly and choose to humble ourselves by not engaging in emotion in such a way where we live and do foolish and unkind things for the sake of our pride and our ego. I'm just saying that to you. So, Sue, if you can let go very quickly of that which possesses you to do difficult and ugly things that really aren't going to change the world, but will only cause you karma, then you're a wise lady, and you've done something noble with your life. But if you're like the pedestrian mentality of most of us in this world, who only want to aggrandize our ego, then you're going to have life in one way or another come and humble you. And this humiliation will be a very difficult thing to manage. A lot of people go into depression early on in their life, not only due to their genetic heritage, but to the fact that they know They know not what they do, and they want to continue knowing not what they do. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. I hope all of this helped you in some way or another. Have a beautiful weekend. I'll be back next week. Again, I ask you, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.